This is Seamus Hanley. Recently, Ted O'Sullivan told us about the school's folklore collection of 1937. Today, we welcome relatives of a pupil from Lawrence Cove Boys National School. First, his son Roger will give us some background and read an essay that his father wrote about his home district. Then, two Beira-based relatives, Michael and Catherine, will introduce themselves and read the essays on crafts and weather lore. Welcome, Roger, to Bear Island Radio.
Thank you, Seamus. I'm delighted to be here on Bear Island Radio indeed. And if you're listening in, you'll guess by now, I'm not a Bear Island man. I was born in Dublin. My father, Sean O'Sullivan, or John Rogers, moved in the 40s from Bear Island to Dublin to seek employment along with some other people from Bear Island. Right there, he met my mother, Anne O'Neill, from County Carlow, and they married and had five boys. His plan was to bring us all back to Bear Island at some stage, but sadly, when I was just six, in 1957, my father was killed in a road accident. So that never materialised. My first memory of Bear Island is indeed at that time when my mother brought me to Bear Island on the train, stopping off in Cork and heading on into Bear Island. One of my memories from Bear Island is being put up my grandmother's back, Bridget Rogers, and carried to Mass on the Sunday morning we were there. Well, sadly, my mother died 6 years later, so the contact wasn't what it is today in terms of communication, so we didn't have a whole lot of contact. However, the other families that lived nearby in our place in Ballyfermot in Dublin, there was a Ted O'Sullivan and a James O'Sullivan, both Bear Island, were regular visitors of the house. Also, a Tig O'Sullivan, that's Ted's uncle, he called out regularly and was always very generous in helping out the family in various ways. Well, it was a good many years before I got back to Bear Island. In fact, it was 1975 I got married, and my wife and myself, Evelyn, my wife and myself, we were down in Kerry and we went over to West Cork and into Bear Island to have a look to see if I could find my Aunt Kit, who was the last remaining sibling of my father. And indeed, the Jungle Drums got it going there around Castletown Bear, and Kit discovered us, and we had a great catch up, and indeed stayed in touch with Kit for a good number of years before I was returned to Bear Island and down to Castletown Bear when I had a young family, and got great welcome and great hospitality there from Kit's daughter Mary D. And stayed with them on our first visit down to Castletown Bear and went over to see the island. And my children were absolutely thrilled and very proud and of their roots with Bear Island. Growing up in Dublin, we were always conscious of course, with a name like O'Sullivan, straight away you had to proclaim it in the classroom where your parents were from. Most of the De La Salle brothers were from the country, so I think they used to go a bit easier on us, given our background. Well, I'm delighted to say that my father did write indeed six essays, and I'm going to read one of them now. The one I've chosen is My Home District, and this was one of the essays that was sent in by my father, John Rogers, and his informant was Mihal O'Sullivan, that's Mike Rogers, there on Bear Island. Goes like this. I reside in the townland of Bank in the parish of Bear Island and in the barony of Bear. There are at present eight families and approximately 23 people living in the townland. The name which most people bear is O'Sullivan. The townland's name derived from French fishermen who in previous years used to fish in Bantry Bay and reside in the north side of the east end of Bear Island, and then called Palmer's Bank, afterwards shortened to Bank. At present, which is very regrettable, there is no old person in Bank able to tell stories in Irish or speak but very little Irish. The land is very rough and boggy, and because of this, many of the people emigrated to America and the Argentine, and a lesser number joined as sailors in the shipping services. Although the houses were smaller, they were more numerous. The rooms of two are still visible. Near the ruins of one of these was a well, and one day a woman was drowned in it, and for a long time afterwards, everybody who passed had to throw a stone into the well, and in that way the well was filled up as high as the ground again. So that is just about it. I hope if you're listening in, I hope you understand my Dublin accent. And I'll hand you now back to Seamus. And a big thank you there from me personally, Seamus, for having me on Bear Island Radio today. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. We'll now hear from two grandchildren of John's sister, Kit Roger.
My name is Michael Harrington. I'm from Gower, which is about 5 miles west of Castletown. My mother is Mary D from Bear Island. She is the daughter of John D and Kit Roger.
Crafts. The old people were very industrious and made their own candles. Of course, it was necessary for them to make them as much as possible, as they were not available in shops in those days. The candle making was very important because it supplied the people with light. Previous to this, they had rush lights, but it was a very poor means of illumination. It was made from the white part of the rush and whale oil held inside in a scallop shell. Then the people thought of making candles. The essentials for making candles were tallow, a mould, and a wick, which was made of cotton thread. The mould was a little tin vessel, about 9 inches in length and about half an inch in diameter, and tapered at the top like an ordinary candle. This was turned upside down, and the wick was held in place by 2 nails, by which the wick was twisted. When the wick was a certain tension, the hot tallow was poured in and allowed to harden, and the nails were cut off, and the candle was made. The making of baskets was also very important in that part of the country long ago, and everybody who owned a donkey was able to make its own baskets. There were various kinds of baskets. Large baskets with windows were called cachons, and a large type lobster pot basket, which were very hard to make. Rope making was also very common in olden days, and everybody made their own ropes called sugans. The sheaves of straw were held in an instrument and were twisted up very hard. Those were very good ropes because they used to give and take a lot in bad weather.
Hello, my name is Catherine. I am daughter to Mary D and Jimmy Harrington Gower, and I'm going to read an essay that my granduncle John Roger wrote in 1937. John was my Nana Kit Roger's brother. There are lots of local customs and beliefs with regards to the weather. The forefathers of the people kept them and knew them and passed them on to their children, who also passed them on, and so on. The old people very proudly tell them when asked about the weather. What are the commonest of them? A red sky in the morning and a grey sky in the evening are signs of rain. When the sun sets an apparent red hole, rain will follow. If, however, the red rises up from the sun and the sun sets in a clear place, we have a sure guarantee of fine weather. When Moses' horns rise up from the sun, we will have wind and rain. If the horns come down from the sun, we will have a calm. A fiery red sun is a sign of easterly wind. A halo around the sun is a sign of bad weather. When the moon is on its back, fine weather there is no lack, is one of their sayings. When the new moon is seen carrying the old moon in its arm, rain is sure to follow. And when a star is close behind the moon, it is of a storm. And when the star is in front, we will have fine weather. Clouds racing across the sky indicate wind, as also black clouds passing over sun and moon. Clouds like mackerel scales and mare's tails indicate wind and rain. Mare tails and mackerel scales makes lofty ships carry low sails. Dark blue clouds indicate thunder, and green coloured clouds wind. When swallows fly low, rain will follow. When the cat washes his face near the fire, or when he lays with his back to the fire, rain will follow, as also dogs crying out in their sleep.
Thanks, Michael and Catherine, and greetings to your mother, Mary D, in Castletown. If you'd like to read John Roger's other essays, or essays by other pupils, just search online for Bear Island Schools Folklore Collection. Christine, Ted and I hope to bring you the stories of several others, Slán go Fóill.